Thank you, John. That was beautiful. John moves us. You did. Does that feel good? Anybody else want to take their shoes off before we start?
I think I will too.
I think it's a good idea.
I just remember these socks are fairly new, so
I'm okay. We're safe. This is a new tradition. Okay, let me kick my shoes off.
I have shoes, but I normally don't wear them.
Aha.
At home, I never have shoes on.
I don't either.
Neither do I.
Okay. So our talk this week is based on a chapter from the book Essential Earnest Homes. And the chapter, it's chapter 8, and it's titled What is Known at One Point is Known Everywhere. And our friend Joanne Hepworth gave a talk on this same chapter last time, and she covered a lot of the chapter. So when I read it for the feeling of it, the biggest impression I could get from it. And what it seemed to me this chapter was about omnipresence and the essence and nature that is God. And so he talked a lot about spiritual mind treatment, which is the form of prayer that we use in Science and Mind. And as I read the chapter, I actually had a experience of epiphany about something that I've been studying for 30 years, which is always interesting. So let's take a quick look at the handout I gave you on spiritual mind treatment and go over the steps of treatment. The first step is recognition. And in recognition step, we recognize that God is. And we talk about the nature of God as we understand it. And we don't have to use the word God. If the word God doesn't work for you, you can say source or the universe or any synonym for God that feels more enlightened or more accessible or more connected to you. So you pick the way you want to describe God. I call God beloved. That's my word for God. And I've written 4 books on the Chatting with the Beloved, Conversations with God type books. And the subject of omnipresence is very present in my books. And so when I decided that this chapter was about omnipresence, I looked at my books, because what the Beloved always says is omnipresence is a hoot. They love the fun of being in on everything everywhere. And so I call God beloved, and the pronoun I use is they. And you can do whatever you want. Whatever matters to you, the God you bring in is the God that you experience. So bring in God when you do a prayer and the recognition step. What is God? What does it mean to you? How does it feel?
And then it feels like love to me.
It feels like love, yeah. It looks like love in you, too. And so unification is the second
step.
That's
why it's called God.
That's why it's God, because it's love. Yeah, that's nice. That's true. Unification is I am that. I am love. I am peace. I am health. I am wholeness. I am oneness. I am grace. It's claiming that truth of who we are. That's the second step. Step 3 is realization. And I have thought about realization all these years, 30 years that I've been studying this stuff, I've thought about realization as imagining the manifestation of what I'm treating for, what I'm praying for, seeing it already done. That's how I've understood realization, and it's worked really well for me for 30 years. But as I was reading this chapter, what I got that just blew me away is that the realization is not about the manifestation. The realization is about realizing the truth of who I am, realizing the oneness and the omnipresence and the power that is God is right here, right now, as me. It's not about changing something. It's not about creating something I'm not. It's about perceiving something I already am. And that, I've worked all around it for so long, but suddenly to see that this realization is in my own mind. And Ernest's been saying that all along. I would switch to the conditions rather than the consciousness when I got to step three. And it works. I've been praying and having things appear in my life for 30 years. But now I'm realizing that it's about realizing the truth. And the truth is the love and the light and the peace and the power and the grace and the wholeness and the health and the prosperity and the joy and the wonder and the creativity and the intelligence of life. All of those things are qualities of God. All of those things are what I am and what my life is. And there's the love. Lavanya drew us the love. It's a beautiful heart. Thank you, Lavanya. So step four is Thanksgiving. I am grateful for this realization. Now I'm focused on, I have the idea that's necessary to make this happen. And step five is release. I let go and let God. I let it happen. I don't have to do it. I can just allow it in. I can just be willing to receive it. So that's the outline on the first handout that I gave you. It's the five steps of treatment. And now I want to share with you, thank you. That's a big heart. I love this big heart.
I'm giving Annie at break. Connie got the first one because I really like what she was talking about. And I'm giving out each and every one different at break time.
Oh, nice. Thank you. I'm glad you have a project that you're doing for us. We are grateful. So now I want to tell you what Holmes had to say that got me to that place. So I'm doing the old Toastmasters thing. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So let's hear this in Ernest's words and Abraham words and in the words of the Beloved, because those are the three biggest influences in my consciousness these days. So in Essential Ernest, it says, "The God within and the God without, the mystic said, the highest God and the innermost God is one God." Ernest phrased it as, "God as man, in man, is man." So we are that. This is the unification step of treatment.
Please repeat that.
All of it?
No, just the...
The last part. God as man, in man, is man.
Thank you.
You bet. And then Ernest started talking about God is all there is. There isn't anything else. There never was and there never will be. That is what I am. There is nothing else I can be. That is the truth of who I am. And then he started talking about healing. And he said, healing is not creating a perfect idea or a perfect body. It is revealing an idea that is already perfect. The idea is the wholeness. The wholeness already exists. The way Abraham says is that everything you want is already in the vortex, and it will come out as soon as you allow it to come out, as soon as you're willing to receive it and open to receive it and not contradicting it by what you think. So the idea is the wholeness. The idea is the oneness. The idea is the truth. And we're focusing on going back to that truth, that perfection already exists. Ernest then said, you are trying to realize what you already are. The big job you have to do is convince yourself of your natural perfection. Once you feel that you're a specific part of the infinite, a child of the One Father with His qualities, you have planted the idea of health in your mind, and it will come forth in your body. This is what effective meditation or prayer really is. Abraham talked about it. They said, your sophisticated body exists because of the intelligence of your cells. And the intelligence of your cells exist because of their connection to source energy. Your cells, because of their connection to the intelligence of source energy, know exactly what to do in order to become the incredible variety of functioning cells in your magnificent physical body. And in the absence of the hindrance that is caused by your resistant negative thought, that communications door stays open up to the minute action and interaction with Source takes place, keeping your body at peace and perfect performance. Isn't that a wonderful quote? I love that one. And then Ernest said, healing takes place in such degree as consciousness turns inward to the source. Turning inward to the source. Abraham says it's easier to have a vibration when you go general. And when you go to God, you're always going as general as you can get. Because omnipresence is a hoop. There is nowhere you're not going to see God when you learn to look for it in the perfect way. So Ernest said the patient must be shown that he has personal and immediate access to all the presence and all the power there is in the universe. That's a really strong statement. We have access to all the presence and all the power there is in the universe. Whew. How do we take that in? How do we feel that presence? How do we deal with it? Well, prayer is one way. When we begin to focus on spirit, focus on source, focus on God, then we are opening ourselves, allowing ourselves to be receptive to that divine energy that is ever present. There is nowhere God is not. God is right here. So when we begin to turn our awareness to that presence, then That love that is right here, it's coming through us. It's coming to us. It's right inside us. So I'm going to share some parts of my book, actually parts of four of my books. When I searched Omnipresence is a Hoot in the fourth book, it came up 12 times. It comes up once or two or three times in the other three books, but it came up 12 times in the fourth book. The fourth book is about omnipresence. This is from book three. I said, I love you, beloved. I love my life. I love all the great things you've lined up for me. I am so glad you will be sharing this week with me, even as I'm traveling around everywhere. They said, yep, we're already there, everywhere. Omnipresence is a hoot. I said, always, everywhere, with everyone, and always here specifically with me. I love that part. They said, we do too. We love each one of you. We love guiding you through life. We love being your life. You are part of the we that we are. That's God said, God is man, in man is man. B says, you are part of the we that we are. To me, that is the same. You are part of the we, that we are. The collective nature of consciousness is spirit, and we are that. We are. The energy of love is so present that we, as we feel the love, as we experience the love, we have the opportunity to perceive love in everything we touch, everything we do. And there was a segment where I was talking about animals and my love of nature. And I said, I had an experience once in a meditation where I became a deer. I was most impressed by his sense of belonging to the forest. Did I interpret that correctly? And B said, oh yes, all the animals and plants have a sense of rightness about where they belong. They know what feels good to them, nurtures and supports them. They move in the directions where we guide them, just as you do. I said, oh, that's a wonderful idea. I have you in common with my beloved animals. And B said, you have us in common with your beloved everything. Omnipresence is a hoot. I said, I love that you are always reminding me who you are. And they said, in order to remind you who you are. They remind us of who they are in order to remind us of who we are. The love is everywhere. The energy is everywhere. The power is everywhere. And we are that. B said, the embodiment of knowing is know it, feel it, see it, and experience it. If you want it to show up in your life, know it, feel it, and then you will perceive it, and then you will experience it. And if you look at the back of the handout I gave you, that is there. To know, to feel, to see, to experience, to realize. Last time when we were here, at the end of the meeting, David said, yeah, but how do you do it? And I said, great, that's what I want to talk about next time. We'll talk about how to do it. And this is the handout that I made at 7:30 this morning. It's based on two things now, or three, that I've done before. One is the process that I use to raise my vibration on any subject. And B calls it a five-step process. I've put it on the four steps here. When the beloved talks about it, they say it starts out with what I don't want, which they call ouch, ouch. That's the contrast of life. I'm in the ouch, ouch place. But when I know what I don't want, then I can turn and know what I do want. So that's the first step. When you're raising your vibration from where you don't want, you turn to what you do want. And after you've figured out what you want, then you talk about what you're willing to have. Sometimes you might even find you're not willing to have what you want. It takes a little while to raise your vibration up to the willingness place. And so sometimes you need to say, I'm willing to be willing. The fourth step in B's four, and the third on this page, is I'm eager. I'm looking forward to having this thing that I want, that I'm willing to have. And finally, I love. So I took that I've been using for a long time, and I incorporated what beloved is into the process. So I want to know. I want to feel, I want to see, I want to experience, and I want to realize. Whatever, that's the steps of embodiment they described for us. And then here's some examples of things we could want. Health, power, joy, creativity, clarity, life, love. So you could say, I want to know I'm healthy. I want to feel I'm healthy. I want to see I'm healthy. I want to experience being healthy. I want to realize just how healthy I am. I'm willing to know I'm healthy. I'm willing to know, to feel my health. I'm willing to see how healthy I am. I'm willing to experience health at a powerful level. I'm willing to realize more and more that my body is the body of God experiencing health. I'm eager to know how healthy I am. I'm eager to feel healthy. I'm eager to see health in all aspects of my life. I'm eager to experience health. I'm eager to realize just how healthy I am. I love knowing that I'm healthy. I love feeling healthy. I love seeing health in myself and my friends. I love experiencing the feeling of being healthy. I love realizing how healthy I am. Last night, I had this really funny experience. I was running up the stairs from the basement, and as I hit the top landing, as I was turning to go into my living room up a couple more stairs, I suddenly had this incredible feeling of being young and healthy. I felt strong, I felt light, I felt free, I felt powerful. And in that moment, I just felt radiantly healthy. And I thought, whoa, I just realized health. Right in that moment, as I was running up the stairs, I felt how healthy really feels. More than I usually do. You know, I'm usually just wandering through life. I'm doing okay. But in that moment, I felt radiantly healthy. Now, I've been reading this stuff. I've been working on these ideas. And all of a sudden, I had that feeling. I had that powerful realization in my own body. Now, nothing significant had changed other than the way I was feeling in that moment, because first my consciousness changed. So the consciousness is the first step. Ernest said, healing takes place in such degree as consciousness turns inward to the source. And I have been turning inward to the source for a couple of weeks, contemplating omnipresence. Mm-hmm. Weeks! I've been preparing for this talk for weeks, Lavanya. Isn't that amazing? It's very fun. I love doing this. So, as I talked to the Beloved, I was very clear that they were really happy to talk to me, eager to talk to me. And then other people started saying, I want to do what you're doing. I want to experience that connection.
And in my next life, I want to be a wildcat.
Cool.
That's very fun.
Okay. So I asked the Beloved about helping other people. How could I tell other people to connect? And they said, we are poised, ready, and eager to greet each one who turns to us. If you will invite us in, you will find that we are already there. Omnipresence is a hoot. There is no pilgrimage to make. We are already everywhere. Right where you are, every second of every day, in all of time, we are right here, right now, with you. We love that about us. I love that about them too. And they said, and a little while later, consciously choose to see God through a filter of grace. Consciously choose to see the beloved through a filter of grace at every level in all people, the places, the things you love, in source itself. Look for the positive aspects of God. I said, wow, what a cool idea. They said, we think we only have positive aspects, but we've had some bad press over the years. We welcome you home to our love anytime you choose, they said. Some wait to come to us until they die, thinking that's their only choice. Some don't expect to ever be loved, so they are really surprised and delighted when they discover that they live in love eternally anyway. We love the parties we have with you all and non-physical all the time. The non-local aspect of you is always dwelling in and celebrating how loved you are. We just love showing you at the local level there's a bigger party going on that you've been missing here. I said, so how do people join the party? They said, choose to see the world through a filter of grace. Tune in to love, as you have done. Meditation quiets the mind. Appreciation turns it to loving thoughts. Look for positive aspects of everything. That's a Abraham process, positive aspects. Do more of what you really love to do. Look for things that make your heart sing and do those things. Upgrade your attitude about God. Find things about Source that you can think about that feel really good to you. We are love, yes, and that's a portal for many. We are also intelligence, creativity, power, peace, grace, harmony, energy, wholeness, oneness, freedom, and joy. Choose anyone and focus there for a while. As you focus on anyone, all of the others will also begin to come into focus. Because ultimately we are, of course, said modestly, one. They played with me so much. I loved that. Ultimately, we are, of course, one. And then I said, where I would still like more clarity is the love part. I feel the constancy and unconditionality of your love and your respect, absolute respect for my opportunity to choose. In that way, you treat me as you treat everyone. But there is another aspect of your love that makes me feel very special. When I feel rather than think about your presence in my life, guiding me specifically to the things I particularly love and want to experience, it just doesn't feel like one size fits all. And B said, nor is it. That's why omnipresence is such a hoot. We can be totally focused on you, loving you, and guiding you specifically on your unique path, right as we are doing the same for everyone else. It boggles the mind, B, I said. They said, for sure. Your mind is designed to focus specifically, although you can adjust your focus broader with practice. Yet while our infinite love boggles your mind, it satisfies your heart. Inside you, you know you are wonderful, fascinating, and beautiful. Watch the children. They know that about themselves. You are still all that. We chose to be you. We chose your life as a glorious experience and then gave you permission to explore it in your very own way. I said, you left me alone to experience it. And they said, no, we never left you alone for a single breath. We have always been here, loving, supporting, and encouraging you. There were 10 more pages of quotes from my book that I don't have time for.
Hello.
So I'll just end with the prayer that's at the end of the chapter that Ernest said. They said, knowing that all experience is a play of life on itself, the blossoming of love into self-expression, the coming forth of the good into the joy of its own being, I enter into the game of living with joyful anticipation, with enthusiasm. And so it is.
And so it is.
Is it halftime yet?
It is indeed halftime.